John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in former Titans linebacker Keith Bullock. Keith, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing all right. How's it going this morning?
We are doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Keith, let's start with that Sunday night football game. The Titans come in, and they just absolutely shut things down defensively against the Rams in that game. How impressed were you by what you saw on Sunday night from this Titans defense?
I'm impressed at the consistency that they've been playing with. People have been paying attention ever since the Buffalo Bills came to town. The Titans defense has been answering the call, and over the last four weeks, they've been really playing great assignment football. It seems like from the outside looking in, the game plans that are put in are to really help the guys that are rotating in and out. They're not being asked to do a lot. They're just being asked to do their job. And then you have obviously the names that we've that are household names, like the Bayard and the Simmons and, you know, the Harold Landry's of the defense. D'Amico Autry is starting to be one of those names that you're hearing weekly that are, you know, leading the charge. And I refer to their front seven. I always think it's just a swarming defense. There's nothing to it. They rush with four. They put pressure on the quarterback with four. You don't see them blitz a lot, which allows them to keep more people in the back end to do covering and things that they do special. So I think that this defense is clicking. They know who they are, and they're playing great team defense.
So, Keith, individually, who are you looking at and saying, okay, that guy is stepping up or maybe reaching a new level as a player? I know Jeffrey Simmons was the star the other night, but who's standing out to you in that way, if anyone?
Well, I mean, it's the guys that you see week in and week out, and one of those guys who stands out to me is Kevin Byard. You know, Kevin Byard was talking coming into the season how he needs to step his game up, and I know just from experience, when one of the better players feels the need to step their game up, that sends waves throughout the whole team, because if they have an expectation of themselves, you can't have an expectation of yourself and not have the same expectation for your teammates. So the way you see Kevin take his game to the next level, making plays every week, knowing where to be, just leading the charge, I think that resonates through the whole team. You know, especially now with Derrick Henry down, they're going to need other positions, other players, other aspects of the team. Maybe this week it comes from special teams, but they're going to need those type of things to carry them through the season, because football is the ultimate team sport, and just because one player went down being Derrick Henry doesn't mean, you know, the party's over. So I think for me, obviously Big Jeff is handling his business. D'Amico Autry, you can talk about, you know, Long Jr., but to me, I'm with Kevin Byard because he put the onus on himself in the beginning of the year and made it public, and now he's playing to that level.
Keith, obviously you were a part of some really good Titans teams here and some teams that were at the top of the conference. Right now, the Titans number one in the AFC. Is there any different type of pressure that comes with being the number one seed? Like, how did you go about dealing with that as a player, or is that something that you guys even thought about at all in the locker room?
No, I mean, I've been on, you know, I think it was more pressure when the year that we were 10-0, like we started off undefeated, started off 10-0, because, of course, you know, you're eventually going to lose. So, you know, if any pressure, it was that year, but I wouldn't even say that's pressure, because as a team, you just go out and play. You know who you are, you're confident, and you just, you're out there to kick ass. And I think what happens is, look, every week somebody comes in trying to knock you off, and they are motivated by something that maybe their coaches said or whatever it is. They see maybe a chink in your armor. That's why they take any given Sunday in the NFL. But that's a challenge. That's a challenge right there, week in and week out, to see if, you know, you can beat your opponents. I don't think there's any pressure. The Titans are, you know, the drivers of their own bus right now. Like, you know, they are the best team in the NFL right now. You know, regardless what is being said, I think their record says it. The opponents that they beat have proved it. And if people aren't ready to say that, that's too bad. But they definitely are the best team in the NFL, and they're playing like overcoming adversity, being resilient, and making plays when they need to be made.
So, Keith, what was your, you know, initial reaction a week ago when we all found out that Derrick Henry, you know, had the broken bone? And what did you think about that side of the ball's first outing without him?
I thought they did well. You know, it's all an adjustment period. It's only been a week. You got Adrian Peterson coming off the couch. Got to practice on Monday, Tuesday. You had another running back coming off the couch. You know what I'm saying? Who has been in the system. So at the end of the day, I think that the running game was effective in the sense that it made the Rams respect it. You know, obviously it's going to have to get better, but that allowed them to do their play action. You know, Tannehill wouldn't have walked into the end zone to put them up 21-3 if the running game wasn't working. That obviously, you know, that stuff made the defensive end crash down and gave him that lane to walk into the end zone. But with no effective running game, that play does not work. So obviously it's going to get better, and I think they did what they had to do in order to get that win. And they'll definitely keep working on the run game moving forward.
Former Titans linebacker Keith Bullock on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Keith, you bring up Tannehill there. What's kind of been your view on Tannehill in this offense? And now without Derrick Henry, what are your expectations for him as this team moves forward without number 22 in the backfield?
Well, I said last week, man, somewhere, I don't know where I was speaking, but, you know, Ryan Tannehill is in the third phase of his career. You can figure the first phase was when he was with Miami, you know, figuring out, he had some ups and downs, more downs than ups, but he learned. You know, second phase was coming here, taking over for Marcus Mariota, and obviously was able to manage the games, win some games, has a 2,000-yard rusher in the backfield, best running back in the league, Derrick Henry. Now phase three is, look, Derrick Henry's hurt. You're the leader of one of the best teams in the NFL. Can you get them over to the promised land? Like, what is his mark going to be in the NFL? Is he going to be a top-tier quarterback? This could be his opportunity to get into that top tier, that top elite quarterback conversation. Or he's just going to have that middle-tier conversation, which you hear about Ryan Tannehill. Me personally, I have a lot of confidence in him because I see and understand how, you know, this game works, and pay attention to the Titans, how the offense is called and the things they ask him to do. I always say Ryan Tannehill just needs to make, you know, several plays a game. And when the big games come, maybe five. And I think that, you know, he can get the Titans to where they want to go and where all the fans want to see them go, and that's to the Super Bowl.
So, Keith, I heard you were at the game Sunday at SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, I was there. What, had the best seats in the house.
Yeah? What did you think of the atmosphere? Where were your seats?
Oh, man, my business partner, we had 50-yard line right front row, right behind the bench, the Rams bench, you know, access to all the – they got a club in their stadium. So by halftime, Titans were off. I was in the club by halftime. So, you know what I'm saying? It's a state-of-the-art new stadium. I travel a lot to Los Angeles, so I remember them building it. You fly right over it when you land at the airport. So it's pretty cool to see it done. I mean, it's an amazing concept. For $4 billion, it better be amazing.
<That's right. laughs>
But yeah, it was fun. It was a great experience. You know, when I go to Titans games here, I can't really get the experience of, you know, sitting in the stands watching the game because it's like work. You know, once people realize, oh, keep, you know, it's work. So there, it was a little more laid back because it was a visiting stadium and, you know, I got to troll some of the coaches that I know on the Rams.
So nice. Some taunts from the stands. I love it. What yeah, can you give us an example?
Of what?
Of a trolling that you did.
Oh, no, nah, my man Lance Schulters, he coaches for the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
Lance Schulters, he used to play here, you know, so I was just calling his name, messing with him. But then, you know, the Rams fans are kind of, for whatever reason, they remind me of Yankees fans. Like, very, like, a little arrogant, just thinking that, like, you know, their team is you know, has it wrapped up. So, obviously, I only cheered, like, I think the one time when Tanner, it was 4th-and-1, so that was a reason for me to cheer because the guy behind me, you know, bet me a shot of tequila, so and I got the pick, so I was very happy.
There you go.
You know, Tannehill got me that shot in 1942, so it was great.
Nice.
That's how it's done. Former Titans linebacker Keith Bullock has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Keith, appreciate your time, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks, former Titans linebacker Keith Bullock. Good night for Keith. In L.A. It's good stuff.
There you go, Tannehill. Porth texting us, freaked out about Tannehill and the picks, too. He got Keith Bullock a shot of good tequila.
That's right. You know,
let's keep things in perspective here.
We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Keith Bullock had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Attention, men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, I am doing well. And yes, guys, if you're out there frustrated in the bedroom, if you're experiencing some erectile dysfunction, we have a major medical breakthrough that has helped thousands. It's called Waves Therapy, clinically proven to open up and regrow blood vessels. No pills. It simply improves circulation in the bedroom where you want it, when you want it.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
We have 50 clinical studies posted at hillsidemedicalclinic.com. Most people have heard of Cambridge University. They showed this to be safe, effective. It has even been called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And I hear you have a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
We do. If you want to improve things in the bedroom, regain your love life, and throw those pills away, call us now this morning. The assessment, exam, and blood flow ultrasound will be free, plus a gift. You'll love this. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. This is a $500 package. We're doing it free to callers now.
That's right, guys. You heard it. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer. 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. That was former Titans linebacker Keith Bullock on with us in the last segment. Have a good time out in at SoFi Stadium on Sunday night.
Do you guys get the reference there? I'm not. I hate tequila.
You hate tequila?
Oh, tequila's devil's sweat. Devil's.
Wait, what reference?
1942.
Yeah, it's a brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't sure if that was a something 1942.
No.
It's just called 1942.
Oh no,
brand
it's like
tequila.
Very, very expensive.
Yeah.
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 Like a bottle is.
Nasty.
Hey. Just give me a lime.
You know,
I'm all good.
Yeah. It's, you know, you go, you know how it is. You have one bad experience with something.
It's over.
Never.
Michigan
never,
State Joe.
Never put, again.
Put some ranch on it. Be fine.
There you go.
Oh, thanks to Keith Bullock for joining us in the last segment. Keith Bullock says, the Titans are the best team in the NFL right now, and if people aren't ready to say that, that's too bad. What do you think about that from Keith Bullock? Very confident in the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Well, I think that, see, it's like, I think that you could make the case that they're the most accomplished team in the NFL, although, again, there's an 8-1 team that came in here and thumped them. So even that is a little harder to buy, especially when Arizona takes Colt McCoy in and just trashes the Niners.
Yeah, I think the Niners may not be very good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree. But most accomplished is easier for me to buy than best without Derrick Henry. Like, it's still a team without Derrick Henry. Great win. Defense playing great. A lot of things to like about this team. But the best team in the NFL? I'm sorry. Someone's got to be a hater.
Because it's going to be you.
I guess it'll be me today.
Scott on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This morning, the NFL power rankings on CBS have the Titans at number three. Number three for the Titans.
Well, I'll give you.
I
got to
come
spoiler.
Out with my power rankings later. I'll give you a spoiler on mine too. I got them at two.
Well, I'll give you a spoiler on mine. I do too.
All right.
I'm looking at the screen right now. I'm right now in the 20s, and it gets real
dicey
tough here. I feel like I'm disrespecting Arthur Smith and putting the Falcons at 20th, and I'm sorry. Show me a little more.
They're still not. The back part of the NFC is not good.
No.
It's very top-heavy. There are a lot of really good teams at the top of the NFC. Back part's not great. Although, Arthur Smith, the fact that they're even in a playoff spot at any point this season is pretty remarkable.
Well,
given what he took over.
At mid-season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably says something about that conference, I guess.
Yeah.
In the depth of the conference, but still, that's impressive.
Turns out Arthur Smith might be a pretty good coach.
He might be.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Lots of thoughts on the text line about Keith Bullock saying Bayard instead of Bayard. He did correct it later on.
He did. He saved it. He had two Bayards. I guess this is just a tough name for people.
I guess so. But they, even on Monday Night Football last night, on the halftime show, they were talking about Kevin Bayard.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, what's going on here, man?
I had somebody sit next to me while watching the Monday Night Football game insist that it was Kevin Beard.
Kevin Beard.
Beard.
And I said,
that's a good one.
No, it's Kevin Bayard. And he like looked at his like girlfriend. He was like, it's Kevin Beard. And she's like, no, it's actually Bayard, I think.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, I was like, really, dude? Okay, thanks.
Spreading misinformation.
I don't know that I've heard Beard. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say, you know what? It's Kevin Beard.
I've heard Baird.
Yeah.
I have definitely heard Baird in press boxes, at least. I mean, the press box announcers can really botch some names.
Kyle Jancrack.
Jancrack, my gosh. but, yeah, I mean, it's Baird's sixth year in the league.
Well, not only is it his sixth
year
in the
league.
He's been an
all-pro.
He's been an all-pro player.
Yeah,
like,
pro bowler.
Probably know what his name is.
Yeah. So, but, well.
Let's go to Chris Broussard, get his thoughts. Chris, who does Kevin Bayard play for?
Or is it Broussard?
Yeah. Kevin Bayard, great left tackle for the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, gosh. Bayard.
I don't know if I'll ever get over the Chris Broussard thing. That was great.
Just really, like, emphatically making the point. But what about this? Consider this, everybody. That's a toughie. Has he, did he ever?
I've not seen him even address it since then. I'm not saying he didn't, but I never watched that show anyway.
I heard someone say he did address it. I hope so. Laughed loudly at himself.
Got a texture that says, someone should remind Bullock that the Cardinals kicked our butt and are 8-1. Talked about the best team in the NFL.
Well, now I will say this. The second part of that is one of those things like, it was so long ago, and again, if you were, you can't go head to head across the board, or else the Jags are better than the Bills, et cetera, et cetera. The Jets are better than the Titans.
Yeah,
but yeah, 8-1. Now your guys went in there and beat them, so they're not unbeatable. No one is, but yeah, I would tend to that. That's who came in number one in my precious power rankings.
Me too.
There you go.
Brilliant minds here on Robbie and Rex Road in the NFL power rankings. It is going. I do enjoy looking at those for just viewing how differently everybody sees. Like there was one, I can't remember who it was, and I wish for the life of me I could. But after the Titans beat Kansas City, they still had the Titans at like 12 or 13, and Kansas City was like 8. I was like, okay, well, Kansas City's 3-4 or whatever they were at the time, and they just got beat by 24 by the Titans. But cool. That's cool.
Well, the Chiefs have been one of those, and I'm the same way. Like, I've been reluctant to, you know, move off them.
I have too, until this past week.
Yeah. Where do you have them?
I don't know yet. I have to look at it. But I can tell you, they're not very good.
I went 13.
Mine might be lower.
Out of the playoffs?
Yeah.
Out of the playoffs low? I mean, they could miss the playoffs. I don't think they will. But, yeah, they're very disappointing.
Yeah, I would say so. More disappointing, the Kansas City Chiefs or the Miami Dolphins?
The
Chiefs are 5-4.
Easily the Dolphins. The Chiefs still have a chance to – I mean, the Chiefs, I'm not convinced that it's hopeless. It doesn't look good, but I'm not convinced it's hopeless. The Dolphins are a freaking disaster. and were mostly picked to go to the playoffs this year after last year. Now, they're easily, I think, number one, aren't they?
I would say so. Henry texting in. You can't be the best team in the NFL if you lose to the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's fine.
The Bucs were 7-5 last year at one point.
Yeah. It's just in the NFL, like, if you follow the NFL, we can go through all of them. We can go through, you know, the Bengals blowing out the Ravens on the road and then getting blown out at home by the Browns, and the Jags beating the Bills, the Jets beating the Titans and the Bengals. Go find some Super Bowl winners. You can go back and look through the entire schedule of Super Bowl winners. I promise you, most years, you will find, at least once or twice on that schedule, including the Patriots coming in here and getting destroyed by an average non-playoff Titans team in 2018 before going on to win it all.
Yeah. I mean, it's the NFL. I mean, like I said, last year, you look at the Bucs, they were 7-5. They got absolutely housed twice by New Orleans. I mean, it's a process to build. And who knows? The Jets just may be better than we thought. Mike White, Zach Wilson, doesn't matter who's at quarterback.
I mean, well,
Josh Johnson.
Well, there is actual controversy there over, like, apparently Mike White should be the quarterback. How about that?
It's amazing.
And then
just drafted the guy second overall.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. If you're gonna come right in with the rookie, that's fine. But then if the rookie's bad early, which certainly can happen, then what are you doing if you replace him with the journeyman backup?
Yeah. By the way, the Bucs last year lost to the Chicago Bears. So
that's a good one.
Yeah.
Not I understand the Jets. I mean, they just even just the franchise conveys this. You know, how could you possibly? I mean, they're bad. But
and that was when Mitch Trubisky was the quarterback of the Bears. By the way.
Well, there you go. That's actually, yeah. Gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I think that was the game that Brady forgot what down it was.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, all that to say,
yeah,
it happens.
There's nothing consistent in the league. Nothing. No one is completely consistent. The only time I saw that was in the 07 season when the Patriots basically destroyed everyone every week, and then they found their bad week in the worst possible time.
Dennis texting in, the Titans could win the Super Bowl this year and they'll still be clowns saying that, yeah, you lost to the Jets. Maybe so.
That would be. Actually, I think if they win the Super Bowl, I think that's got to be the lead. Yeah, but they lost to the Jets. And then go from there.
Jared texted me saying it was Nick Foles and the Bears team made the playoffs. So Nick Foles was the quarterback.
Oh, well, that's much better. Yeah, because they came in here and actually made the Titans look like they had a good defense last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah is that the same as the Jets? No, but it's a good example.
It's pretty bad.
Of a Super Bowl winning team having an inexplicable loss. And the Bills are gonna be a real contender to make the Super Bowl this year. They just lost 9-6 to the Jaguars, for crying out loud. Like, everyone focuses on their team and, this is so good, this is so bad, whatever. I mean, you look around this league, it is a week-to-week league, and there is enough good players on every single roster to get you if you're not ready.
With the exception of the Lions and the Texans, yes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Lions had the Ravens beat. They had them beat, and they
but they got some sort of mystical power that's against them.
Well, they do, but I'm just saying they had them beat. They had the Vikings beat, right? The awful, awful Lions. I'm trying to think of, had the Texans had anything remotely impressive this year? I mean, they blew
first
up
two
the
games,
Jaguars, but
yeah. Beat the Jags.
Have they
and hung
pushed
in there with
anyone
Cleveland.
Good?
They hung in there with Cleveland.
Hung
for
in
a
there
while.
With Cleveland. Yeah, okay.
That's about
you
it.
Never know. One of them, one of those teams is going to have some crazy win the rest of the way. I promise you.
Hopefully not against against the Titans.
I
still got
know,
Houston
man.
Twice
I
on the
know.
Schedule. Join 102.5 The Game this Wednesday night for the Bud Light Preds Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. There will be great drink specials. Enter to win Preds tickets to an upcoming home game, and you can watch the Preds take on the Dallas Stars as well. So join us this Wednesday night at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South, downtown. The puck drops at 7:30. When we come back, we'll get back into the Vols. How excited should Tennessee fans be about the job that Josh Heupel has done in year one? We'll get more thoughts on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL as well. No shortage of things to talk about with Charles coming up at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to that here in about 30 minutes. Right now, talking Vols. And Joe, we talked about this a little bit earlier. A big win for the Vols and Josh Heupel and company against Kentucky. They're now 5-4 on the season. You've got Georgia coming up this weekend. Georgia, a 20.5-point favorite in this game, which sounds like a lot. It is a lot, but it's also, relatively speaking, not that bad in terms of the favorites that Georgia has been so far this year against their competition. I don't think anybody really expects Tennessee to win this game against Georgia. I'm interested to see if their offense can move the ball whatsoever, because pretty much nobody has been able to move the ball thus far against that Georgia defense. But in all likelihood, a loss for Tennessee coming up on Saturday, and then you've got South Alabama and Vanderbilt to close out the season. You would think two wins there for Tennessee. So 7-5 looks like the most likely scenario for the Vols in Josh Heupel's first year as head coach. My question for you is, when you factor in the whole picture of the program, what it was heading into the season, the expectations for this group, and what we've seen play out on the field, how excited should Tennessee fans be about the job that Josh Heupel has done in year one?
Well, I think they should be excited, and I will raise my hand and say I'm more impressed with the product on the field than I expected to be this year. I would guess the majority of Tennessee fans would be able to say the same thing. And look, the defense, I think, has been the most surprising story about this year. This is not the greatest week to talk about the defense, because it wasn't a very good night for the defense against Kentucky.
They were on the field for about 50 minutes.
Yes. Yes,
but yes.
Yes, they were. But they also made some plays. Alante Taylor, I mean, that's probably the play of the game, right? I mean, the play of the game was probably that defensive play still.
Yep.
So I just really like overall like what they've done with a severely limited roster, especially limited when it comes to depth. They got some good frontline players, but they were gutted, you know, with the changeover in the portal and things like that. And obviously, we knew Heupel could coach offense. We knew he could develop quarterbacks, all these things. The tempo offense could score points, but it's been, to me, the play calling and the way he schemes up stuff. I mean, you watch this stuff and just go back and watch a game from last year. If you really want to feel good about things,
yeah,
go back and watch this offense as it was constructed and coached and executed last year. How many teams in college football are more different on one side of the ball than Tennessee offense from last year to this year?
Be hard to find anybody.
So it's been really good. I mean, I think the whole excitement thing has to be somewhat muted. I mean, I know I'm Mr. you know, hater today on everything that we're talking about, but it's got to be somewhat muted by the recruiting situation, which has to get better.
Recruiting has to get better. I think on the field, this has been far and away above what I expected. Like, I was interested to see the offense because that was Josh Heupel's thing. So it's been productive. I'm not surprised that the offense is much better than it was a year ago. I am surprised it's this much better. I mean, their offense is one of the top offenses in college football. It just is. They've got a really, really good offense. And quite frankly, like, you look at their players, they've got some good players. But it's not like it's the most talented group in the country out there playing offense for Tennessee. You got Hendon Hooker, who was a good player at Virginia Tech, and he has taken his game to just an astronomical level so far this year. 21 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, not to mention what he brings to the table in the running game as well. So offensively, it's going, I think, about as well as you could have expected if you're a Tennessee fan. And it's funny to say that. You think back to the first couple of games, especially the Pitt game, where the points you left on the table – with the Jover throws and everything that went on in that game. I mean, it is interesting to think about how good this offense has been, even with the injury situations that they've had and everything they've had to deal with this year. Defensively, there's still, I fully believe this, not a ton of talent on that defensive side of the ball, but they just play their butts off. And I think that Josh Heupel, Tim Banks, and company deserve a lot of credit. So, look, I've been kind of blown away by what I've seen from Heupel and his staff on the field in year one. Now, what does that mean as they move forward here? To me, that's the question, because at some point, you're going to have to recruit at a higher level than they're recruiting at right now to sustain success. And not even sustain success is probably not the right term, to build on this and to get back to being a threat in the SEC East. Everybody in the SEC East right now is light years away from the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, Florida's not close to Georgia right now. Everybody is far away from Georgia. So this is not a process where, at least I don't think it is, you're going to turn around next year and you're going to be right there with Georgia. I don't think anybody expects that. The recruiting was the big question for me when Heupel was hired. Not only was the record going the wrong way at UCF, but recruiting was going the wrong way. And look, UCF, for the type of players that they're bringing in, the location for UCF is pretty sweet. You should be able to recruit pretty well there, relatively speaking, for that level. And Heupel wasn't. So that was a concern to me. That's still a concern to me. Can he fix that as he moves forward? But other than that, which is a big if, I've been pretty impressed with Josh Heupel so far.
Yeah. I mean, but to that point, based on what Scott Frost did and the standing of that program in that league, you should have had the best recruiting in that league, and that did not happen. That went the wrong way. So it's a totally different situation here. So you have to, you know, you have to keep that in mind. Now, you could look at it and say this is even harder, and I think that's true, but it still doesn't necessarily – it's not apples to apples. So you got to let it play out. I've got to think that the product on the field is helping, has got to help, it should help. You just have to – you have to have the results. And, yes, Tennessee is going to – get into the portal like everyone does now. A big part of success in this sport anymore is scouting. It's like the NFL almost, where you have to know personnel and all the other teams really well, because you're claiming guys on waivers, you're signing guys off practice squads. Well, in college football now, recruiting also happens off other teams. But the portal can't be the catch-all answer. I understand, like, Oklahoma, like, loaded up on Vols this offseason. That's also Oklahoma. And, like, Alabama gets a toe-to-toe. You know, when you're a program like that, because you've recruited so well, high school players, and have waves after wave of class of top athletes, you know, then you're a championship program that it's also easier to get those top guys. Tennessee will get some guys in the portal. But you have to be good. You have to recruit high school players at a high level. That's why Georgia and Alabama are 1-2 in recruiting rankings. They're not just leaning on the portal. You've got to hit. You've got to recruit. That's never going to change. You got to have guys who are in your program for 4 and 5 years to build what you want to build at Tennessee. Way too early to say he won't do that at a high level, but right now that is the caveat. That's the detracting little thing, and it's not a little thing.
A big question for Josh Heupel when he took this job was, can you develop a quarterback? Can there be a quarterback that, you know, obviously had a lot of options to begin last season. You had Harrison Bailey. You had Joe Milton. You had, at one point, Brian Maurer was in there, Hendon Hooker in there. And, you know, Hendon Hooker has been awesome this year. I think he deserves credit for that. Hooker obviously has put in some work, and, you know, this offense seems to fit him really well. But Heupel has to get some credit for that too. I mean, I think the scheme that he's brought to the table and just making things pretty simple for Hooker at the quarterback position, there's not a lot of thinking. Just kind of watching this offense play, not a whole lot of thinking that goes into it. You don't really have time to think. You get up to the line, you go. I mean, that's what it is in this Tennessee offense. And as Chris on the text line points out, Hooker can hit the deep ball as well. He's hit it a few times this year.
The touch on his passes, tremendous. I mean, his accuracy. But to your point earlier, you know, he had good numbers at Virginia Tech. You know, 63%, 9-7 an attempt, 22 TDs, 7 picks. That's good. A rating of 159.8. You know, Tennessee, though, that goes from 63 to 69.4. Yards per attempt from 9.3 to 10.2. Rating from 159 to 190. And then a TD pick is a ridiculous 21 to 2.
Yep.
So good for him. You have to give him credit. But you have to look at that and say, yeah, these guys know what they're doing with quarterbacks. And I understand the how is he not the starter over Joe Milton thing. But I still believe that Joe Milton has a ton of ability to play quarterback at a high level. I don't know where that will be next year. I assume it will be somewhere else next year. I'm not as bothered by him winning the job in camp, especially for one, we didn't watch camp. We didn't see what was happening on a daily basis. But it's not that surprising to me because he has all that ability. He probably wasn't overshooting every deep ball by 20 yards in practice.
Probably
like he was in the games, in a very small sample size.
We'll continue the discussion on the Vols. Take your thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How excited should Tennessee fans be by what they've seen thus far from Josh Heupel? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Vols, taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are talking Vols, but I think you'll like this one.
Okay.
Xavier on the text line. Just read the Titans piece by Joe. I love reading his articles in The Athletic. It's well written, and he also writes it like he speaks, so I always hear Joe's voice when I read it.
What's the name there?
Xavier.
Xavier. Mom, that's a very creative that's a very creative name to give for yourself. Thank you. Love you, Mom.
That was so nice of Xavier.
Yeah.
Spreading kindness in the world.
Here's your voice while he's reading, which is, I think, both a very touching and potentially terrifying thought for him. That he has to listen to your voice while he's reading.
That would be awful. Because whenever I hear my – you know how everybody hates hearing the sound of your voice? Like, when I hear my voice, it's like, rah, 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 rah. Like,
so I'm sure you love when I tweet out just funny clips from the show.
It's his favorite.
Yeah, I try to not watch. I'm sorry. But Dr. Simon A. Rigo, who is a Titans fan, Titans fanatic, he's a professor somewhere. He just tweeted at me about my column I wrote after the Jags game, from the Jags game, which was, here's the quote, there are a lot of issues. This is, here, I'll do it in my voice, Xavier. You can hear my voice. There are a lot of issues, too many issues for the Titans to successfully navigate the next month of football. Save those words and weaponize them later if you like. The 3-2 Titans will be lucky to go 2-2 in the next four games.
Yeah, buddy.
End quote.
So you think those are going to be weaponized?
Probably not.
I mean, it's weaponized. It's right now. I'm taking the shots. I deserve it. Come after me. Come at me.
Bob on Twitter. So regarding Josh Heupel and recruiting, does he just stink in the living room with kids and their parents? What's the primary issue with Heupel and recruiting?
So it's interesting that Bob asked that, because last week when I did a piece on the Vols recruiting, I asked kind of a similar question to one of the recruiting analysts about the living room. And it's interesting because that's kind of an outdated thought process, apparently. But again, I asked it too, so I'm not ripping you, Bob. Like, I thought the same. To kind of explain it, basically I was told, like, what it is now, it used to be a lot more like the head coach is the closer, you know, the assistants are recruiting,
yep.
And then the head coach comes in and seals the deal. And now it's like the coaches who are most successful, this is the feeling in the recruiting world, are the coaches who are really like just like obsessive about it in terms of all being involved in the process the entire time.
I.e. Kirby Smart.
Kirby Smart, perfect example, okay? In fact, I'll pull this up. Of coaches I was told are, you know, I guess spectacular in that way in terms of – and there's a term for it too. You know, what it's like nine-inning coaches, okay? So, in other words, they used to be like the closers. Now, you still have to be a closer too. But there's all these factors, all these different things. And apparently, you know, the head coaches who – are there from the start all the way through, considered grinders, you know, show up at everything they can show up at, all that stuff. These are the coaches who are having a lot of success. There's not one way to do it, but examples, Kirby for sure. First name that comes up, Kirby Smart. Look, we all know that there's all these other things that happen with recruiting the SEC, right? But if they happen everywhere, then what gives you the edge?
Right.
You know? Sark is another one who was throwing at me. Cristobal. I was told he was an extra innings coach. Not just a nine-inning coach.
Wow.
An extra innings coach. Mac Brown. Interesting. Really? Guy who's up there. Drinkwitz from Missouri. I mean, Missouri is having a terrible year. They're trash.
13th in recruiting right
now. They're dog water. They're 13th in the country in recruiting. They're like, what, fourth in the SEC?
It's pretty unbelievable.
So that kind of matches up with that reputation, right? And you know, like even like for, so a guy who isn't necessarily considered like that is Dabo, but you know, Nick and Dabo, they have earned a certain level of being able to still be a closer because their programs are with now, you know, you have a year like this, I guess, with Dabo, and you might want to rethink that. PJ Fleck is a guy.
Can I just say, I stumbled upon on Twitter the other day, like this thread. I need to see if I can go back and find it, of Clemson fans wanting Dabo fired. Says it's time to get out before it's too late.
This year?
Oh, like, yeah. Like right now.
I love college football. College football's amazing. Oh, amazing. Well, like the Dan Mullen. Like yeah. Florida fans were actually thinking Dan Mullen's going to get fired this year. Now, he has already sacrificed some coaches, of course. Just like Scott Frost just sacrificed some coaches. But
the guy's won two national championships in the last 5 years.
Well, he played for the national championship a year ago. Yeah. Loses like a generational QB, fire him. So those are some of the names that come up. To answer your question about, I don't know. I don't know what would be the issue or if there is an issue. I know that there are some people. I know that there's some other sites who have definitely pushed hard the other coaches are negative recruiting on the sanctions. I don't doubt that they are. I don't doubt that other coaches are saying things. I have my doubts. And again, we've also done some reporting on that with high school coaches on just how impactful that is. And it was like across the board, like, I don't think that's much of a factor. I just don't. You're making a college decision right now. Tennessee just opted to not do a 1 year bowl ban, which is what we thought they would do. No, they're not going to be like limited for years to come. And if any coach says that to you, you got to be smart enough to understand that that's BS. I don't think that's some huge thing. It's there as an excuse right now.
Well, and to your point earlier, the way that Tennessee has now handled this in terms of not self-imposing a bowl ban, doesn't that kind of tell you what they think is going to happen in this situation? Like, if they thought they were in danger of just getting nailed by this, don't you think they probably would have self-imposed?
Yeah, I do think that there are different voices there that have expressed different levels of concern because they don't know. I mean, like, you don't know how the NCAA is going to react. But
with anything,
right? But that's still like that's probably what they'll get is, okay, you actually do have a one-year bowl ban. That's enough to sway a recruit to go somewhere else? Like, oh, they're only going to have 80 scholarships for 3 years, not 85. I got to go somewhere else. That's, again, maybe other coaches are saying outlandish things. I'm sure it's mentioned. Why wouldn't you? They all negative recruit against each other, so you're going to find every bad thing you can about the other guy who's trying to take your recruit. But
also,
it's not going to be some big thing.
But let's be honest, though. How much is Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and programs like that, how much are they really worried about Tennessee recruiting right now?
Well, maybe not them, but maybe the
Mark Stoops
that Tennessee's actually competing with. Yeah. The Stoops is. Yeah, it's probably Mark Stoops.
Probably is Mark Stoops out there.
He is.
He's going to be even louder now.
Heck yeah, he is out there.
He's out there.
Stealing all those.
He's screaming at recruits like he was screaming at the ref the other night.
As he should have been.
That was a bad miss face mask.
I am shocked that SEC officials missed something.
Yeah.
Never happens.
And then overreacted to a coach yelling at them.
By the way, are you prepared for what's going to go down on Sunday in the Titans game with
Boger?
Jerome Boger being the lead official? That's going to be something.
Well, the crazy thing is he was the official 2 years ago when they played New Orleans, and Khalif Raymond nearly got decapitated,
yes,
and they just didn't call that. So, good stuff.
Keith texting in, does Xavier have to account for the mutes in his head mid-sentence when he's reading in Rex Rhodes' voice? That's a good question.
As I'm reading my column. And, so, anyway, and then I went to get the
– Maybe so.
Thank you.
Could be very accurate. We're all about accuracy here on the show.
Love you, Xavier / mom.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. Does he think they're the best team in the AFC? And a lot of other NFL topics to get around. Been a busy week in the NFL. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Moto Casino is pure American energy. Born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Moto, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.